The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Your Bible, please, and go to 2 Kings chapter 2. Look at verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 2, please, if you will. And look at verse 9, if you will, please. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. And may we stand together for the reading of God's word, please, together. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah," that's the older man of God, "said unto Elisha," that's the younger man of God, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I'm taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for tonight. What a wonderful blessing it is to be able to come together, to be able to open the Bible tonight and see truth that can help us. Thank you so much for the message we just heard. Dear Father, I pray that you'd seal that into our hearts and help us always to be the person that yields to you, not looking for popularity, not looking for something that somebody might give, like a pat on the back, but rather just to be able to serve you, no matter what you'd have us to do or where you'd have us to do it at. And Lord, we'll thank you for that. Now speak to our hearts again, please, during these few minutes we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, if you will. I received Christ as my Savior when I was 18 years of age, and raised in a Roman Catholic home, altar boy for 5 years, went to the Latin-speaking Mass on Saturday evenings and performed my duty, and then the English-speaking Mass on Sunday mornings. And then a soul winner came, told me about Christ, bowed my heart, received Christ as Savior. Then I became introduced to independent Baptist churches. First time I ever walked in an independent Baptist church, it scared me just a little bit, to be honest. I couldn't find a kneeling bench anywhere, and so it scared me. Where are you going to kneel to pray? I didn't know that this was called an altar. We never had such in our church before, or what we called a church. We never had that before. There was no statues anywhere. I couldn't find St. Andrew. I couldn't find St. Peter. I didn't know where St. Bartholomew's went. I did not know. I didn't know where any of the statues I was used to seeing. I did not know where they went. And in the church that I was in, there was a cross that hung over the baptistry, but oh my, somebody even stole Jesus off the cross. And then to top it all off, there was no holy water anywhere, no holy water anywhere. So I thought I was among a bunch of unholy thieves in a Baptist church. I had no idea what it was all about. I did not have any idea. And then Dr. Smith got up to preach, and I never forget, my introduction to independent Baptists was sitting there in the pew, and he got excited. He raised his voice. I've never heard anybody raise their voice before in any type of church setting at all, and he raised his voice, and then he started pointing his finger, and I thought, oh my, I thought he was angry about something to begin with, and but he was trying to be able to bring across the truth. And boy, did he bring across so many truths that God spoke to my heart about. Matter of fact, I went back on Sunday night just to see if he'd do it again. And then I went back on Wednesday night, and I got hooked. I started going Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now, you'll get a kick out of this. A preacher announced one time, he said, "We're going to go soul winning." And I never heard soul winning before. It kind of sounded like something you do on Halloween, you know, soul winning, you know, like souls floating around and stuff like that. And he said, "We're going to go soul winning." He said, "I want you to come and go soul winning with us." I was scared. Matter of fact, I went to Mama and I said, "Mom, I'm scared a little bit. Pastor of our church said we're going to go soul winning. I don't know how you do that." And so I put a gun in the back of my car because I figured, you know, if they're floating around, all you got to do is shoot them and bag them and you'd be fine. And so the first time I ever went soul winning in my life, I carried a gun in the back. Now, that's before you had to have a license and, you know, pass all these tests and stuff like that in order to be able to do stuff like that. And so, and of course, Dr. Smith has heard these stories before, and he just laughs and laughs and laughs. But come down to it, I was just a novice. I knew nothing. I didn't know people were supposed to say amen in church. I didn't know that. I didn't know that you're supposed to pay attention in church. I didn't know that. I came a long way in a short amount of time. And then God started speaking to my heart. And so I went to my pastor and I said, "God, speaking to my heart, I want to learn the Bible fast. How in the world can I learn the Bible fast? And he said, I suggest you go to Bible college. He said, because when you go to Bible college, they will give it to you quick. And he said, you'll be able to learn it and catch up with the rest of the believers. And so we prayed. And just to show you how it was as a young believer, we were supposed to pray and fast. Well, I knew what fast was. I was a track runner in high school, public school. I knew what fast was. I ran short distance runs. And so I thought you're supposed to pray fast. I thought that's what he's talking about. I didn't catch the and, pray and fast. And so I prayed fast. I got myself a stopwatch. And I figured the faster you throw them up, the faster God answers them. And so that's what I did. And I prayed fast. All right. But we prayed and we fasted, or he prayed and fasted. I prayed fast and about where God would have me to go to college at. And then I went to Bible school. When I went to Bible college, you know, I found out that the young man that was instrumental in helping me to come to know Christ as Savior, he called me up every night to read the Bible with me. And when I did not read the Bible before he called, then he'd say, go get your Bible and we'll read it together. All right? And so he helped me to understand the Scriptures. He really did. He grounded me. Now, by the way, he was 16 years of age and I was 18 years of age. You cannot tell me that God cannot use a teenager. Don't tell me this stuff that, oh, I tell you what, I'm just a teenager and God can't use me. I don't believe that for a minute. God used a 16-year-old boy in my life to be able to mentor me and to teach me Bible doctrine and the Scriptures. And so he did that every single night. Well, then I started, as I was in Bible college, hearing different preachers that would come in. And boy, they come in, they preach up a house of fire. And oh, it was just wonderful. I'd sit there, I'd lap it up just like a dog lapping up water on a hot summer day. I would lap it up. I'd be so excited to hear that type of preaching. And then as I got a little bit older, I graduated from Bible college. I started going to different conferences, and I heard some of the greatest preachers in fundamentalism. And then one day, somebody preached something about the power of God. And I heard that message on the power of God. And I watched these preachers after I'd surrendered to preach June 26, 1982. And I started preaching. And oh, did I want God to use me? But I didn't know anything about God using me. I didn't know anything about preaching the Bible. I didn't know anything about any of that stuff. And so one of these fellows preached on the power of God. And I thought, well, you know, it'd be good to get him to pray for me, that I could have the power of God and that God might use me just a little bit. And so I went to Dr. J. Harold Smith, and I said, would you pray that God would use me? And he put his hands on just a young preacher, and he prayed. And that's the first time I ever had somebody like that to pray. Then I went to Dr. Harold Seitler, and as he preached one time in a meeting, and I said the same thing, and he did the same thing. Then I went to a fellow by the name of Lester Roloff. You heard about Brother Roloff just a little bit ago. And I went to him, and I said, oh, I want to be used of God so much I can taste it. I don't want to just be a commoner. I don't want to be somebody, if you will, that's here today, gone tomorrow. But I'd really like to make some type of indentation while I'm here on earth. And Brother Roloff prayed for me several times. Then I went to my pastor, and just today, before he left, I said, preacher, can you come to my office? Let's get on our knees together, and would you pray that God would use me? Would you please pray that God would use me? And so we got on our knees, and he prayed for me, and several times with Dr. Lee Robertson and Dr. Bob Gray of Texas, Dr. Bob Gray Sr. of Texas, and Curtis Hudson, Ryan Riley several times, and some of you know him and some of you don't, Dr. Bob Gray of Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, Dr. Hiles, your pastor for many years, and I'd have the privilege to pick him up at the airport and take him back and forth, and sometimes I'd ask him, several times, I'd say, would you just pray for me, and he was so kind to be able to do that. Then my dear friend, Dr. Carl Hatch, many, many times. And you know, why did I do that? Oh, I did not do that because I want a name somewhere. I did not do it for that reason. I did it because I have a sincere desire, just like I have today. I have a sincere desire to be used of God. I think it was Hudson Taylor said, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Why is it that we'd want to waste our time any other way except being a person that is fully surrendered to the will of God? So I want to preach to you tonight for just a few minutes. I'll not take very much of your time, but I want to preach to you tonight on a double portion, a double portion. Here's the old man, Elijah. Here's the young man, Elisha. And Elisha, the young man, goes to the old man and he says, I pray, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And the Bible talks about how the older man, Elijah, was getting ready to be taken up. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 13, and he took up also the mantle of Elijah. That's the older man that fell on him. And he went back and he stood on the bank of Jordan. There was a time when he went to Elijah and he said, I want a double portion. And Elijah looked at him and said, well, he said, the time's going to come when I'm taken away. If you're there at the time when I'm taken away and you pick up or you receive that mantle, a double portion will fall on you. Now, I really don't know, but I do believe that that mantle was symbolic of God's power. I believe that that mantle was symbolic of the will of God. I believe, if you would please, that it was a perfect picture of God working in an individual's life. Now, I don't know. I really don't know how many times God's going to call you to do what God wants you to do. I do know this, that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. I know that. I know that God called Moses out of the burning bush twice. I know that God called Jonah, if you would please, twice. I know that God called young Samuel four times, and the first three times, of course, it was Eli that said, just go back to your bed. And on that third time, he said, go back, and if you hear the voice again, he said, it would be the Lord, and he said, say, hear my Lord. So I know that, and I do know right here that there was one time when the mantle fell, just one, not twice, not three times, not four times, just one time. I wonder if God is going to pass by. I just wonder if God is going to pass by, are you ready for God to do something in your life? Let me ask you a question. How much do you desire for God to use you? Would you be willing to pay any price for God to use you? Would you be willing to be able to say, God, here am I. God, I'm yours. I'm at your disposal. God, wherever you want me to serve, that's where I'll serve you. God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'd be willing to do. Where are you in your personal relationship with God, your Heavenly Father? Let me show you some things about that double portion. Statement number one, there was a right person in young Elisha's life. 2 Kings chapter 2 and in verse 5, the Bible says, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho, the Bible says, came to Elisha, that's the young man, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? You see, he was not, Elijah, the older man, was not the master of the 50 sons of the prophets. Oh, no. They distinctively said, thy master from thy head today. And so what were they saying? They're saying he's not our master. Not our master. Now, can I tell you, just like I sit underneath these preachers of old and some of them now in heaven, can I tell you, there was a thirst that God created inside of me as I attend the Southwide Baptist Fellowship and Dr. Lee Robertson, the Great Highland Park Baptist Church, would moderate that meeting at his church, and he'd have scores of these preachers that would come, and they would preach, and I'd be a young preacher, and I'd be sitting there, and I'd say, that's what I want, that's what I want, that's what I want. Oh, I want God to use me in such a fashion as that. And as I'd go to the pastor school for many years, and I'd hear Dr. Hiles preach, and I'd hear so many other preachers that he'd have come, and to mount that pulpit, and to preach that Bible, oh, did I yearn for God to use me. Can I tell you, the many years that I would go to the SWORD conferences under Dr. Hudson and now, of course, under Dr. Smith, can I tell you, there was times when God used preachers. I'm saying God used preachers. God used preachers to be able to speak to my heart. And I sat out there and I just listened. By the way, if you have a tender heart, God pulls on your heart. God does. Now, you might be so wicked and you might be messed up in such wickedness and darkness that God cannot get a hold of your heart. And if that be true tonight, you ought to run to the altar and say, God, Help me to get right with you. Help me to be able to obey you. Help me to be able to be in the right place where I can hear your voice again. One day, one of my boys came to me and said, Daddy, I've got a question. Said, when is it, and it was a good question from a young man. He said, when is it that I should go to the altar? I said, well, let's figure on it. He said, well, yeah, I want to go to the altar when I should, but I don't know when I should. And I said, there's two times you go to the altar. Two times you go to the altar. You go to the altar when God speaks to your heart. That's a good time to go to the altar. Say amen.
Amen.
That's a good time to go to the altar. But I'm telling you this, God's word shall not return void. If there ever is a day in your life when God does not speak to you through his holy word, you ought not to walk to the altar. You ought not to slide down to the altar. You ought to run to that altar as fast as your legs can carry you. Because there is not going to be a day when that word of God is preached that God is not going to do something inside of your heart. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying there was a right person in young Elisha's life. He had somebody to look up to. Oh, I want to be that way. Don't you, preacher? Don't you want to be somebody that your young people can look up to? Don't you want to be somebody that the children in your church can look up to? Don't you want to be somebody that the adults in your church can look up to? Don't you want to be somebody as a daddy tonight that your children are not ashamed of you? Don't you want to be somebody tonight that's faithful to the house of God, faithful to the ministry of soul winning, faithful to the ministry of standing for God in a wicked generation? Don't you want to be somebody tonight that your children look up to and say, I'm so proud that that is my daddy. I'm so proud that that is my mama. Has to be a right person. Statement number two, 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 6, the Bible says, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too, the Bible says, went on. All right? So here's what we see. There's a right person. But when you have a right person in your life, it creates a right desire. You know, here's what I find out. Being a youth pastor for 10 years in Brooklyn, New York, then in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, can I tell you, I know young people that they go to a youth camp. And it just seems like that the kids that were not hot with God would always find the kids that are not hot with God. They'd meet down at the canteen. By the way, it didn't take very long either. I mean, only within a couple of hours, they would meet down there, and they didn't even know each other before. But you see, they were drawn to each other because they knew the elements that they saw in that other person's life. Can I tell you tonight, people ought to recognize you as being somebody that is sold out to God, somebody that's walking with God, somebody that's not playing games and footsies with the world, but somebody that just decides you're going to be in the right place at the right time and let God be the one that speaks to you. So there has to be a right person. When you get the right person in your life, here's what's going to happen. It creates a right desire. You know, you get the right type of influence in your life. I'm going to tell you something for sure. Here's what's going to take place. That right person in your life will create a right desire. I mean, it's going to create a desire to do that which is right. If you have the right person, oh, but you get somebody that they're lukewarm. I mean, they got one foot in the world and one foot in the church house. They got one foot in the world and one foot in their Bible. They got one foot in holiness and another foot in unholiness. And can I tell you, the Spirit of God will not rest upon them. God will not use them. God will not cause them to be greatly used of him. Why? Because they're just playing games with God. Oh, would to God tonight that we'd have some young people that would rise up. Would to God tonight that I'd have church members at Parkside Baptist Church that would rise up and just decide you're not going to play footsie with the world's crowd anymore. You're going to decide that you'll live for God all the days of your life. I'm saying this tonight. There has to be a right person. Right person creates a right desire. A right desire, notice in your Bible, we're in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 7. The Bible says, and the 50 men of the sons of the prophets, the Bible says, went, and they stood afar off, and watch it here, and they too, the Bible says, stood by Jordan. Just two of them. Now, wait a minute. These are 50 sons of the prophets. These are the ones that knew the Bible, or so we would have thought. These were the ones that had daddies, if you will, that were great men of God. Oh, how many times have I seen preachers' kids cause their parents to go through grieving processes? How many times have I seen Christians of good, outstanding Christians, parents through the have, and they cause their parents to go through grieving? Now, can I tell you something tonight? That when you get the right person in your life, it creates a desire. The desire to do what? Be in the right place. Can I say something tonight? Church is a good place. Amen. I'd rather be in church than in jail. Amen. I'd rather be in church than on drugs. Amen. Oh, come on, you do better than that unless you're on drugs. Amen. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that you get the right person in your life, and what takes place is it creates a right desire, and the right desire is to be in the right place. Amen. Oh, I wish as a pastor, and I know some of these pastors might join me in wishing the very same thing, and prayerfully, do we do it all the time on our knees as we go to make visits of absentees? You know, I don't know, but it seems like we spend a lot of time chasing people to get them in the place where they ought to be. Something has to change inside of a person's heart. Oh, wait a minute. How does it change inside of a person's heart? It changes when they put the right people in their life, and the right people in their life creates a desire, and the desire is to be in the right place. And can I tell you, when you're in the right place, you always get to see the right things. Amen. Amen. There's a right view. You know, in church, you get to see things you never saw before. You get to see a precious young person that saved themselves onto the day of marriage walk down the aisle and present themselves to that one that they'll be with, joined as husband and wife for the rest of the days of their life. What a wonderful sight and view to see. You get to see people that walk the aisle receiving Christ as Savior and have found the Lord in Scripture Believers' Baptism. What a wonderful sight to see. I was preaching one time, and there was somebody that they just got saved. They just got excited. And in the middle of my preaching, they stood up and they hollered out a bunch of curse words, just a whole bunch of them. Blah, 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 said, blankety, blank, 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 that's good speaking. But at least they got excited about something. You know, isn't it amazing how we can go to a ball game and we can get excited about a stinking ball being bounced down a court, or we can get excited about 18 ounces of pigskin being carried down that which is a ball field, but we can't get excited about Jesus. You know, no wonder our churches are drying up and dying. You know why? Because of the saints that are sitting in the pews. Oh, you know, the Bible says, taste of the Lord and see that he is good, does it not? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So don't you think that in church you ought to be excited about things that God is doing? Hey, somebody gets saved, and in the presence of the angels, the Bible says that there is rejoicing over one sinner that gets saved. Well, pray tell me, who's in the presence of the angels? It's all those saints that got saved, if you will. All those sinners that got saved, and now they're in heaven, and they're looking over the portals of glory, and they see mama getting saved, and they see daddy getting saved, and they see brother getting saved. And they see sister getting saved, and they see grandma getting saved, and they see grandpa getting saved, and they get excited, so excited they cannot contain themselves. Yet you go to the average Baptist church today, and almost like they answered the prophet, they answered him not a word. Hello? I'm sorry, but I don't think that churches ought to be funeral homes. I just don't believe it at all. You say, well, we're not charismatic. I know you're not nothing-matic. But there should be some automatic amens. Amen. Well, I'm just going to wait till the Holy Ghost nudges me. Nudge yourself. But if the truth is there, hey, look, let your neighbor know about it. Amen. Be excited about something. That's why we're losing our young people by the scores. Why? Because they come to churches and nobody's excited about that which is right and that which is holy and that which is godly and that which is pure. And they look around and they see people sleeping in the pew. They see people dropping their false teeth and water coming down, down the mouth, and people not paying attention. And can I tell you, no wonder we're losing a generation. I'm saying this tonight, there has to be a right person. Could you be that right person? I'm saying tonight a right person creates a desire. A right desire will help you to have a desire to be in the right place. In the right place, you have the right view. You get to see things that nobody else sees. You really do. How many times have you seen a bus child walk down the aisle and receive Christ? What a wonderful blessing. How many times have you witnessed to somebody and you watch them bow their heart and receive Christ? What a wonderful blessing. How many times have you seen a marriage be restored simply because there was the teaching and the preaching of the Bible? And can I tell you, don't you rejoice in that because of the fact that God moved in and worked on somebody's life and changed their life for the glory of God? I'm saying this. I'm saying the right person, right desire, right place, right view. Let me give you this, and I'm done. Here it is. We'll shut her down. Right craving. Right craving. Oh, you know, I'm 57. Don't whistle. I'm 57. Now, can I tell you, though, my desire, my yearning to be used of God has not diminished. And if anything, it's increased. You know, I'm going to go soul winning whether anybody else goes soul winning or not. I determined that a long time ago. I'm going to study the Bible whether anybody else studies it or not. I don't have to preach to get an amen. If somebody, boy, used to be, I'd go and preach revival meetings and I'd said that sometimes it takes 3 days to wake up the dead. But can I tell you, the truth of the matter is this. You ought not to be preaching for some applause or preaching because you're trying to get some type of attention or win a popularity contest. I don't believe it, but I do believe this. I do believe that if preachers would do what they're called to do, I think it would create a craving. I do think this. I think if daddies would do what they're supposed to do, their boys or their daughters might start to have a craving. Yeah. Somebody told us we were in evangelism, you know, and we traveled an awful lot. And I'd take meetings and I'd preach them from Sunday to Wednesday. Then we would travel maybe to the next meeting, depending what the sites were, in that area. Because we did a lot of sightseeing. That was one of the advantages of being in evangelism. I don't apologize for that. We needed family time and we took it. There was many times, Brother Johnson, many times, when somebody called me up, they said, would you fly up and preach a meeting? I said, if I can't bring my family, I'm not coming. And so for 12 years, if I could not bring my family and we could not drive there, I wouldn't take the meeting. You'll say, you shouldn't have did that. Well, my kids love God today a little bit. I didn't want to lose my children. By the way, my children had every right to have a daddy. And my wife had every right to have a husband. So I'd take them. But might as well not waste time. So we taught them a little bit about singing. Well, my wife taught them a little bit about singing. I taught them a little bit about preaching. She did not do that. Matter of fact, one night we were introducing the boys, and I said, this is Jonathan. He has surrendered to preach. And I said, this is Joshua, and he has surrendered to preach. And this is Jared, he has surrendered to preach, and poor little Becca's just sitting there like. And she said, Daddy, I'll surrender to preach if God will let me. Hello? And by the way, she could out-preach those boys any day of the week. There's a right craving. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, and it came to pass, it says, when they were gone over, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I'm taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Have you ever done that? Have you ever, preacher, I'm asking you now, I'm talking to you. Have you ever done that? Have you ever got on your knees and said, oh God, where's the Lord God of Lee Robertson? Have you ever done that? Lord God, where's the Where's the Lord God of a Tumalo? You say, they're dead. Yeah, what a shame nobody's rising up. Well, you're not supposed to walk in the footprints of another. You're going to walk in somebody's footprints. Don't tell me that. Well, I'm against you having preachers that are heroes. Okay, don't. Don't. That's fine, don't. But your kid's going to have somebody. They're going to put somebody on the wall. Sometimes I just think that we get so stagnant. Now, I love you, and I'm preaching to me. Just I'm swinging the bat, and it's hitting me twice as hard as it's hitting you. But I think sometimes, dear friend, we get so stagnant. We do. We play church. We play church. Oh, come on. If God showed up or not tonight, you go home the same way. The average person in the pew. There's not been many times, if any, that some people have ever experienced a personal revival. And to us, sometimes it just don't matter, does it? But my dear friend, to God it does. Here's what it says, and I'm done. The Bible says, and when he'd also smitten the waters, we're in verse 14, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Now watch this. This is really sad, but watch what it says. Verse 15. And when the sons of the prophets, 50 of those fellows, when the sons of the prophets, the Bible says, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah. Well, they must have knew that Elijah was walking with God. How'd they know his spirit? How'd they know what his spirit was like? How'd they know? They must have watched the man. The Bible says, and the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. The Bible says, and they came and they to meet him, and they bowed themselves, watch it, to the ground before him. That's so sad to me. Because you see, those fellas, they could have had the same power if they wanted it. Every teenager in here could have the same power if they wanted it. Every adult, listen to me, don't turn me off now. Every adult could have the same power. You know why? I don't understand. We have all the power of the Godhead, and God is looking for people. Oh, and our country's in such a mess. Why is it that we don't have people that just get on their knees and cry and pray for their mamas to get saved that's not saved? Doesn't it matter if they burn in hell? Why is it that people just don't get on their face and say, God, I want to be used? Doesn't it matter? I mean, is it so flippant to us that it just really doesn't matter? I mean, God is just God, you know. Should it not matter? Look, I don't want to be a pastor at Parkside Baptist Church and just rot. I don't want that. Oh, I want God to do something. I want God to help our families. I want God to help our kids. All these kids know it. These people know it that I pastor. They might not have a perfect pastor, but they got a pastor that loves them. And they got a pastor that will try and help them to do what's right. Why don't you decide to do what's right? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we love you tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.